Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 4, Transcendental Knowledge, text 39. Sarvalabhate Jnanam
Sarvalabhate Jnanam
Tatpara Samatendriyaha
Tatpara Samatendriyaha
Jnanam Bhagva Param Shantim
Jnanam Bhagva Param Shantim
Acharenadi Gacchati
Acharenadi Gacchati
Sarvan, a faithful man, Lavate, achieves Jnanam, knowledge, Tatparaha,
very much attached to it,
Samyata, controlled. Indriya, senses, Jnanam, knowledge, Labdva, having achieved, Param, transcendental, Shantim, peace, Atrena, very soon, Adigachati. Translation, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Faithful man who is dedicated to transcendental knowledge and who subdues his senses is eligible to achieve such knowledge, and having achieved it, he quickly attains the supreme spiritual peace. Purport, such knowledge in Krishna consciousness can be achieved by a faithful person who believes firmly in Krishna. One is called a faithful man who thinks that simply by acting in Krishna consciousness he can attain the highest perfection. This faith is obtained by the discharge of devotional service and by chanting Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, which cleanses one's heart of all material dirt. Over above this, one should control the senses. A person who is faithful to Krishna and who controls the senses can easily attain perfection in the knowledge of Krishna consciousness without delay. Namam Vishnu Sharavan Labhate Jnanam Tatpara Samatendriyaha Jnana Labha Param Shantim Acharena Digachati. A faithful man who is dedicated to transcendental knowledge and who subdues his senses is eligible to achieve such knowledge. Having achieved it, he quickly attains the supreme spiritual peace. This chapter is dedicated to transcendental knowledge, and at the end of the chapter it describes that knowledge has two parts, knowledge of the self and knowledge of the super-self. The Supreme Self. And such knowledge coming in contact with Krishna, in other words, if we understand who we are, and we understand who Krishna is, and we understand our relation with Krishna, that's perfect knowledge. Or as Krishna says in the other chapters, evam, let's see, yomam evam asamudo, janati purushottama, the Sarvavit Bhajante Mam Sarvavena Bharata. That whoever knows me as the Supreme Lord without doubting is said to be the knower of everything, and therefore he engages himself in full devotional service without any failing or doubt. Iti Goyatama Shastram Idam Yukva Mayamandaga Etad Bhutva Buddhivatsa Krita Kritasya Bharata. That this is the most confidential part of all the Vedic scriptures. And whoever knows this becomes wise, and his endeavors will know perfection. In other words, the whole Bhagavad Gita is meant to convince us that Krishna is God, and that we're his eternal servants, and that whatever we're doing, we should do the idea of, we should find out what Krishna wants us to do, and then do it to please him. So that takes some proper use of our free will, and that in Krishna consciousness is the gradual progression of becoming determined to do those two things. To find out what Krishna wants us to do, and then to do it to please Him. Between those two things, if one is doing that, then one is called a faithful person. And if he does that, chants Hare Krishna, but chants Hare Krishna with the idea that one actually wants to be engaged in Krishna's loving service, not just his service, but also his loving service. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made that possible in this age by giving us the opportunity through his Sankirtan movement of coming into contact with Krishna most easily. In previous Kali Yugas, people would chant Hare Krishna not so much to engage in Krishna's loving service, but just to engage in enough service so they can get the necessities of life. In other words, in every age there is yajna for Krishna, and by such yajna, devan bhava yata dena te deva bhavyantu va parash param bhavyantak shrey param avapsita. The demigods being, what is it? Devam bhavayata dena te deva bhavyantu va parash param bhavyantak shrey param avapsita. Something about the demigods being satisfied with performance of knowledge by performance of sacrifice will also please you, and thus by cooperation between men and demigods, prosperity will reign for all. Of course, we also find out that behind all sacrifice is pleasing Vishnu, Yagyavai Vishnu. Although the demigods are representatives of Krishna, but actually the person that the sacrifices are aimed at are to please Krishna, where they're always in obedience to Krishna, because Krishna is the one who has declared what sacrifice is, and they're meant to please Him. But the ultimate, so all this transcendental knowledge is ultimately meant to liberate us from two things, namely that we think we're the proprietor, that we think that we're an enjoyer, and that we think we're the friend of others. In the mode of ignorance, we think we're the proprietor. In the mode of passion, we think we're the enjoyer. And in the mode of goodness, we think we're the friend. We're the deliverer. But actually, we're none of those things. We're either the instrument for Krishna under his internal energy, or we're the instruments for Maya under his external energy. So that's our choice. So here it says, a faithful person is one who knows, firmly believes in Krishna. So to believe in Krishna, we have to accept those three things gradually. That we're not the proprietor. That's the first thing we're supposed to accept. So that's called karma yoga. The element of karma yoga is the element of accepting that we're not the proprietor. And the element of jnana yoga is the element of accepting that we're not the enjoyer. And the element of bhakti yoga ultimately is that we're not the ultimate friend, that Krishna is the friend, that he's the actual source of purification and inspiration, etc., etc. So these three things are explained in Bhagavad Gita: karma yoga, jnana yoga, astanga yoga, which is the link that instead of meditating on the material world, we start to meditate on the spiritual world. And then there's bhakti yoga, which arises out of pure karma yoga, pure jnana yoga, pure astanga yoga. And then bhakti yoga is actually, or buddhi yoga, is actually invoked eventually by Krishna's mercy. When he sees that we have no other interest other than him, then he can invoke bhakti. In other words, Krishna is in control of the whole thing. If Krishna reveals himself to us because he sees our sincere effort to try to please him, to try to serve and please him, then he reveals himself. So it's two things. One is our effort, and when Krishna appreciates our effort, then he reveals himself, and then we can understand what Krishna consciousness is. Because there's nothing that we can do to force Krishna to reveal himself. there's no karma yoga or jnana yoga or astanga yoga that forces Krishna to reveal himself. Or as Prabhupada said, it is not that when we're offering the deities some halva because we put raisins in it and it has fruit in it, Krishna has to accept it because he falls for it. Halva with raisins in it every time, he just can't resist. He can't control himself. No, everything depends upon our attitude, and the attitude ultimately is dependency, and which that we have, that we're, as Prabhupada was saying in the lecture when he was installing Rukmini Dwarkadhani, he mentioned that, well, first he started to talk about Vanksivas Babaji was a Babaji who was in the mood of parental love, but he was a Raghunuga Bhakta, topmost devotee, and he had a particular relationship with his devotees, with his deities. It was quite familiar. And then Prabhupada switched. He didn't want to get into the topic of Vanksivas Babaji. It was too esoteric. And he started to talk about Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami, he was given Madan Mohan by one Brahmin when he was doing Madhukari. Sanatana Goswami used to do Madhukari. Vrindavan is not like it is now. There was no Loy Bazaar. These temples didn't even exist at that time. It was a forest with actually tigers and other kind of wild animals in it. And the only way that the sadhus were existing is they do Madhukar. They go door to door, whatever, in the villages, whatever there was, and they get some roti. That particular roti was not chapati. People would take some dough and they mix it together with some water and they throw it into an open fire. And half of it would be cooked and half of it would be raw. And that was your roti. So that was what Sanatana Goswami was living on. These cooked rotis. He would beg for them. Do Madhukari. Madhukari is, madhu is the bee, and kari means to do, like the bee. The bees, they only get a little honey, a pollen from each flower, and then they bring it back to make the honey. So the sadhus would get a little from each house. They wouldn't be invited for a big feast. So Sanatana Goswami, when he was offered by this particular Brahmin the opportunity to take Madan Mohan home with him, he mentioned that actually, I don't know if Madan Mohan would be very satisfied living with me. Here he has a nice house and he gets nice prasadam and he has other children to play with. But if he comes home with me, I don't have any place to put him. But Madan Mohan was insistent that he go be with Sanatana Goswami. So Sanatana Goswami said, all right, you want to take a chance? Go ahead. So he brought Madan Mohan home with him, but he had no place to put him because he was living underneath the tree. So he put him on a branch of a tree. So after some, and he would do Madhukari during the day and bring Madan Mohan back a roti, one of these half-cooked pieces of bread from Madan Mohan. So Madan Mohan was eating that for some time, and then after a while he started to complain. He said, Sanatana Goswami, he said, every day you're bringing these dry rotis. He said, can't you put a little salt on it, get a little salt at least? So Sanatana Goswami said, well, I'm an old man. I can hardly even move, but whatever I get, I offer to you. So please accept it. Don't complain so much. So Prabhupada was relating this story, and he said, and Madan Mohan, he had to accept it, because Bhakta was offering it. But then Prabhupada said, but what is your value? And what is the value of the things that you have? It's actually nothing. That the real thing is bhakti. My dear Krishna, kindly accept. I have no qualification. I'm rotten and I'm fallen. And then Prabhupada started to cry. But I'm offering this to you. And then Prabhupada said, don't be puffed up. always remember that you're dealing with Krishna. That is my advice to you. Thank you. In other words, due to the conditioned nature, we're quite, convinced. We're dull. The material nature means to make one dull, and therefore know that we're dealing with, know who Krishna is very difficult for us. And what to speak of having the attitude towards Krishna that we're dealing with God. Considering that, for instance, it is said that Krishna is in every atom. Now, if we were in every atom in this room, we'd be doing quite well. We'd feel ourselves quite important and powerful. And what to speak of being in every atom in this universe? That would be quite a trick. To know everything past, present, future in this one little universe would be quite amazing. We can't remember the names of everyone in the room. And yet Krishna knows our names since time immemorial. And not only this one little universe, but this universe is compared to one mustard seed and a bag of mustard seeds. And this is the smallest universe. Brahma here has only 4 heads, but there are universes where Brahma has 10 million heads. And they're proportionally bigger in size. And still Krishna is in everyone's heart and in every atom and every one of those universes. And all these material universes only comprise at the most 1/4 of Krishna's creation. And what to speak of the spiritual creations, Krishna knows everything that's going on everywhere. And we think he's abhijananti mamudha manushim tanum ashityam param bhava majananto mamabhuta maheshram. And we think we figured Krishna out. Or we know what Krishna consciousness is. So, Krishna consciousness is the development of faith in Krishna. But it's not so easy to understand how great Krishna is. Nor should we avoid understanding how great Krishna is, because unless we can understand how Krishna is interacting with our current existence here, and how we can try to relate to him properly within our realm of influence, then how are we going to understand how Krishna is relating the spiritual world, which is far beyond our current experience? So understand Krishna's greatness here, then we get some respect that everything here actually is his property. And therefore, we might become serious, which is the next step, where it probably writes in the next verse, that it is not that we should take, oh, there are so many demons, but I'm a devotee. It's not so easy to become a devotee. Of course, if we called ourselves demons, that wouldn't be very auspicious either. But we should understand we lack something called faithfulness, real faithfulness. It's a development. It doesn't just happen overnight by putting on a robe or a sari and putting on some tilak. It happens by a gradual change of heart, which means a change of attitude, a change of conception, first of all. Therefore, we're dealing with transcendental knowledge. Try to understand who Krishna is and who we are, and then put it into practice. And then Krishna sees that we're trying to do something sincerely in his service, then he helps us. Tadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. When he sees we're trying to become more consistent, more regulated, more enthusiastic, more careful, more attention, more something in devotional service than didami buddhi yogam tam, he gives us the intelligence by which we can make progress in becoming more and more devotional, more and more knowledgeable, more and more devotional, more and more steady, more and more enthusiastic, etc., etc. Krishna will help. If we're trying to improve our devotional service, then he'll help us do it. And if we're trying to do something else, then Krishna will help us do that too. Whatever we want, Krishna will help us with. But to become faithful to Krishna requires to understand where we're at. Adau, Shraddha. Sad means heart, and Da means where we put. So our faith in Krishna will depend upon how consistently and how enthusiastically we're putting our consciousness upon Him. And not only putting our consciousness upon Him, but tad buddhiyas, tad atmanas, tad nishtas, tad parayanaha, gajatnyapana, avritim, gyananidhuta kalmashaha. When one's faith, tad buddhiyas, Buddhim, one's intelligence, tad buddhiyas, tad atmanas, one's mind, tad buddhiyas, tad atmanas, tad nishta, that's faith. Faith means steady faith. Fixing our mind and our intelligence upon Krishna creates the steadiness. Tat parayanaha, taking shelter in Krishna, feeling that we actually have no other, not that we're doing it because I'm a great person, but feeling it out of necessity that we have to take shelter of Krishna. We don't have a choice. Either we try to take shelter of Krishna or Maya will drag our mind and intelligence away. Then one's faith, mind, refuge, and intelligence are all fixed in the Supreme, the one becomes cleansed of all misgivings through complete knowledge, and thus proceeds straight on the path to liberation. And what do we discover? We discover everyone is Krishna's servant. Krishna is in everyone's heart. Every living entity is respectable because Krishna is in their heart. And along with the eternal servant of Krishna. So, how to learn how to respect every living entity, and in this age, especially by trying to give every living entity Krishna consciousness. In some form or another, try and help people advance towards Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada demonstrated that, even by going so far as saying that this movement will eventually have the responsibility even to reinstitute Vanan Ashram in order to help people who will not accept or not capable of accepting Krishna consciousness immediately, at least giving them an opportunity to live in a peaceful environment where their brains will not become so scattered, and then eventually they may be interested in hearing and chanting about Krishna again. But first of all, we have to become devotees of Krishna, and part of that means that we have to become aware that everything is Krishna's property, and therefore aware of how Krishna wants us to utilize that property, and of course he wants us to utilize it in the Sankirtan movement. It's not something vague, it's not something complicated. He wants us to dedicate our energies to telling people about Krishna. Now we're here in this temple, we have a few devotees, and we're hearing about Krishna. But that's not the ultimate conclusion of the Sankirtan movement. 20 devotees, or maybe another 20 online, hearing about Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually wants to flood the world with Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Prabhupada didn't think little. He wanted to take over the world. So if we're only utilizing, just like they say, we only utilize 10% of our brain, if we have, you know, that's what they say at least, but we could use 100%. So similarly, if we're 10% surrendered, or 1% surrendered, we get a small amount of devotees. And if we really want to utilize our talents, our energies, in an organized, systematic way to propagate Krishna consciousness, then we can get tens and thousands, if not millions of people to join the Sankirtan movement. It's only a question of how much we're actually sincere about trying to spread Krishna consciousness. One pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, was able to take Krishna consciousness from nothing to all around the world, and at least inspire devotees, people to become devotees, because we're not dealing with something small, we're dealing with Krishna, we're dealing with God. We're dealing with the absolute truth. And he's non-different from his name. And he's appearing in this age in the form of his holy name. Now, unfortunately, this Kali Yuga is quite covered over. But fortunately, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming along with a name so that he's quite merciful. And if we try to be at least even dutiful to his Sankirtan movement, then his mercy will manifest itself And then we'll understand how compassionate he is, not only to every living entity, but he's also compassionate to us. The more, as Prabhupada wrote to me again, the more you work seriously to help bring Krishna's other children back to the spiritual kingdom, then the more he'll bestow all his blessings upon you. That Krishna is never ungrateful for our efforts to serve him, rest assured. So in other words, the temple worship is the preliminary worship, so we can learn how to chant Hare Krishna and hear and chant with some sincerity, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Shivasanga, because today is Shivas' appearance day. So in Shivasanga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would dance and chant in the evening for many hours and display transcendental ecstasy in dancing and chanting along with his confidential devotees. And when they really got inspired and fired up, of course they were always inspired and fired up, but this is a pastime, then they went out to the public and distributed the Hare Krishna mantra publicly. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic dancing and Lord Nityananda's ecstatic dancing and just swept India at that time. And people became absorbed in Krishna consciousness, especially due to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's intense ecstasy manifesting itself in waves of ecstasy, just flooding the environment with transcendental love for Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't leave. He's still here. In fact, he's right here. It's a question of accepting his being here. The more we accept that he's here and along with his devotees, then the more he reveals himself. And that takes care and attention, not only to serve him in the temple, but serving in the temple is necessary too. So we take care of the deities and we take care of the devotees, that we listen to them when they're chanting. If we don't listen to the devotees, if we're not conscious of what the devotees who are serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu need, then how will we listen to them when we're chanting? It's not that we're going to turn our intelligence off. Only when we chant, we listen to you. And otherwise, we listen to you as much as we listen to the floor. No one has to become conscious of the fact of who we're dealing with. And then, not only the Krishna, we're dealing with the deities and we're dealing with the devotees. And then if we learn how to listen, how to hear properly, then we'll be able to experience Krishna in that hearing and chanting process. And if we experience Krishna, then we'll become inspired to do something for Krishna. Or if we do something for Krishna, then we'll become eligible to hear about Krishna. So it works both ways. And if we're inspired, we experience Krishna, we become enlightened in Krishna consciousness, then we'll have the intelligence how to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. Or if we try to spread the Krishna consciousness movement, then Krishna will also give us the intelligence how to do that. But we should also get the intelligence how to become faithful to the holy name and faithful to absorbing ourselves in the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore using our intelligence, using our mind, taking shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, come to the platform of becoming a sincere servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his mission. Then the holy name will have an effect. Then we'll be able to experience Krishna's presence in his name. And then we'll become addicted to the holy name, because that's addicted to Krishna. Then the holy name, when we chant it, we'll remember spontaneously Krishna's form. Then we'll remember his quality. We'll be able to experience his presence. Then we'll remember his associates and their qualities, remember their activities, and then we'll actually enter into the pastimes of Krishna simply by chanting Hare Krishna. Then we'll be in the spiritual world, and this world will also become spiritual too, because it is a spiritual world. Everything is going on here by Krishna's arrangements. We're just thinking that somehow or another these things are all happening accidentally, or maybe the new world order is in control or something. But actually Krishna is in control. And the only problem is that people don't know that, and therefore they're not following Krishna's instructions, And because they don't follow Krishna's instructions, therefore Maya will create so many problems for them, so that they become humbled, and eventually they have to turn to Krishna, because they have no other choice. Or maybe they do have a choice. They can become a cat or a dog in their next lifetime if they want. Or they can finally wake up and try to understand that there is Krishna in control, and that we're actually his servants, and we should do something to serve him. We should find out from Krishna's representatives what he wants us to do, and we should do that. And we know that Krishna wants us to chant Hare Krishna, to serve him, follow the rules of deity worship, temple worship, and at the same time go out and spread the Hare Krishna movement. Give people knowledge about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, about Krishna, about their eternal relationship with him, and therefore make their homes into temples, worship Krishna in their home, educate their family, educate their friends, and participate in the Sankirtan movement, whatever they're doing. Then the world will, people won't worry about all these insignificant things that are going on, because something actually significant will happen. Now the most significant thing is some movie star or some sports person, some insignificant particle of Krishna's energy, people take so significant. But what to speak of when the whole Supreme Personality of Godhead makes his appearance in Kali Yuga, in people's lives, unlimited bliss, unlimited beauty, unlimited wealth, unlimited knowledge, unlimited everything, and that would be much more significant. And we can do that if we want. We can participate. Although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, undoubtedly, he has his plan. He's not going to depend on any individual person. It's not that if we don't do it, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will go back to Goloka Vrindavan and say, well, I tried, but just couldn't do it. He's a little bit more powerful than that. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
If devotees become, when devotees become very successful, how to make sure that new members and sympathizers of the movement do not take it as just another religion with very nice rituals for good luck and everything nice. How to ensure that the actual message is kept of all God and bhakti and so in spiritual life, and not just as a mundane, not a mundane earth religion.
Well, generally, yadyada trayesh acharyate shrestas, everyone follows the leader. And so the whole problem gets down to imitation. Many times when one becomes a leader, he thinks that I'm actually qualified. But actually, leader means one who has the proper vision. So if you're a leader and you're not highly qualified, as the previous leader, for instance, Prabhupada, as it says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Shiksha Guru Ke Ta Krishna Srup Antaryami Bhakti Shresta Eduri Rup, that one should know Krishna as the Shiksha Guru, Krishna as the Antaryami, as the Super Soul. And as the best of the devotees, he manifests himself as the guru. Now, Prabhupada writes that there is two types of shiksha gurus. One is the one who's objective, who sees everything objectively, because he's situated in transcendence, and therefore he gives perfect instructions. The other is those who see things relatively, because they have some advancement, they have some experience, but they don't see things absolutely. And therefore they can give instructions according to their relative position. But the acharya, in the true sense of the term, who's authorized to deliver Krishna, enriches the devotee with full spiritual knowledge, and thus awakens him to the activities of devotional service. So devotional service to any leader who is not on the absolute platform remain rather mysterious. Therefore, we should recognize that devotional service for all of us, whatever our position is rather mysterious. We don't fully comprehend it experience it. So in order to keep the movement purer, therefore the leadership has to recognize that although they are the leader and they have to do the best they can, all they can do is take shelter of Prabhupada's instructions and examples to try to understand how to progress themselves and others. Now, if they believe that somehow or another, by being given a position, that the position is sufficient to know everything, then that's called imitation. And the result of that, we'll have to learn, hopefully by experience, that it's not the actual reality of the situation. The reality of the situation is that one should feel dependent on the previous acharya and try to understand to the best of one's ability, collectively, especially, because everyone has different levels of realization, different perspectives, different experience, and then studying Prabhupada's books from the point of view of some and instructions and examples, try to come up with the best possible vision that will push us forward towards increased enthusiasm and especially cooperation for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Without that cooperation, without trying to compromise, then what happens is that we actually believe that we know what's to be done. And when you have everyone believing they know what's to be done and they don't know what's to be done, you get a lot of different opinions and a lot of different, you get diversity, but there's no unity. And when everyone agrees that they don't really know what's going on, all they know is that they should cooperate with each other to try to help people become Krishna conscious, then you'll get people's diversity acting more in unity trying to ascertain through Prabhupada's books, especially example and instructions, what's the best thing we can come up with at this time. And then Krishna will help. As long as we don't think ourselves to be absolute. And generally speaking, when we're isolated, or when we're under this misconception that my vision is, it may not be perfect, but it's as perfect as everyone else's vision. It's as good as everyone else. You have your idea, I have my idea. And I get together with so-called like-minded people in order to push forward my idea. Well, that won't be very good. The real thing is to find out everyone's idea and to see how we can utilize everyone's idea according to Guru Sadhana Shastra, especially Prabhupada's books, to actually put forward Prabhupada's and Krishna's idea to the best we can understand. And part of that is that their idea is we want to present Krishna. We want to present Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we want to put forward Krishna's service to please Him, especially through spreading the Sankirtan movement, cultural revolution, as the basis of our cooperative endeavor. And if we can learn how to cooperate on that idea, then we can get other people to cooperate on that same idea. And if we can't figure out that that's the idea that we should be working together on, then we'll simply fight over insignificant things and forget that idea, and we'll just become another mundane religion, fighting over insignificant things and forgetting about the real idea is to spread the Sankirtan movement and convince people that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which he said makes one eligible to go back to the spiritual world, which is the whole reason why the creation is here, the reason why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes with his associates. That makes sense. Yes.
How is the pointing so far in today's discourse?
How is it working so far?
Well,
at least we're here. So that much is working. At least we're here for some time. But how is it working? Well, I don't think the high court judges in Slovenia are wearing tilak yet. Do they have high court judges here? Of course they must have. But they're not wearing tilak. Therefore, it's not working according to the standard that we hope it will become. Probably that organization and intelligence. The problem is that material nature makes us dull. And part of becoming dull is that we actually believe we're not dull. We think we're doing all right. That's how dull we are. We're dealing with the absolute truth, but we're kind of like children with an atomic bomb in their hands. They don't quite know what to do with it. They're playing with it like a toy. So we're a little dull. We don't realize the great opportunity we have because we don't have the experience. We're not under the spiritual energy, so we have no idea what the spiritual energy is. We're under the material nature, and we're quite accustomed to be under the material nature. But somehow or another, we have to make a little effort, and then we'll get a little glimpse of the spiritual energy, and that will inspire us to do more than we're already doing. We're not going to suddenly take over the world, but if we can do a little bit more than we're already doing, then we can gradually make some progress and actually establish Krishna consciousness as a important part, first of all, in modern society, rather than it, people don't even know who we are. They think we're Buddhists, or they ask, where do you guys come from? I came from Mars, so I thought so. No, we have a long way to go. But at least we're here, so there's some hope. But the real thing is to use our intelligence, sit down and make a plan to actually take over the world. Where we can't figure out how to take over the world, at least here locally, figure out how to take over Slovenia. But if we can't do that, at least take over Ljubljana. If we can't do that, at least take over the temple or the neighborhood or something. Make some plan and then Krishna will help us. Then we'll see that actually the person who's going to save the world is the super soul. We just have to be interested in assisting him in that endeavor. So if we make a little plan, even to take over our own lives, then he'll help us and we'll develop faith in him. We'll see he's actually there to help us. He's just waiting to help us. We just have to want to take his help, that's all. And we'll do that if we make some endeavor and then see his mercy, how merciful he can be, how kind he is. And that will inspire us to take more help from him, because the more help from him we take, the more we'll realize how kind he is, how merciful he is, how compassionate he is. And then when we feel his compassion, his mercy, then we'll want to serve him more and more. And then we'll gradually experience that we have in his association, we also become somewhat compassionate and merciful and interested in his desires, serving his desires. Is that right? Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandra Shrimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.